Good work, everybody. Today's daf is Beitza Daf Yud Aleph, and we're here at the bottom of Yud Omer Beis. The last thing we had quoted was from our, we had talked about, our Mishnah had mentioned that if you designate three birds to be eaten on Yontif, and you go back into the dove coat and find two, so the we assume, right, the Mishnah had said, that we assume that these are the two out of the three birds that you designated, and you can take them on Yontif. Again, if you remember, we said that you have to designate them on Erev Yontif, because otherwise they would be Muktzah. So if you go, you designated three, and you go in and you find two, so then those are two out of the three birds that you had, and then you can use those birds. We're not going to assume that they are other birds. And the Gemara had said, maybe this is Revi's Shita, because we have a similar Machlokas. We have a similar case by money. If a person left $100 worth of Meiser Sheni money in a bucket or a jar or whatever it was, and then you open the jar and you find 200, so that was Machlokas, Rebbe and Chacham. And Rebbe had said you have the original 100 of Meiser Sheni, and you have another 100 of regular money. And Chachamim said, no, it must be completely new money. It's probably regular money. It's not Meiser Sheni money that is left in the jar. So that seems to be our Mishnah that says that these are the original birds that you designated, and even though the number is different, right, it's not going to be a different type of birds. But that's Rebbe, who says that the original money is still in the jar. And that's the same thing we say here. The original birds are there, even though the number is different. The Chachamim say no. And we wanted to say that maybe our Mishnah is not like the Chachamim. And then we said, no, really, it could be the Chachamim Shita. Because it could be that since birds are different, birds kind of hop around and they move around, and it could very well be that one of them left the dove coat. But money doesn't move on its own. So the Chachamim would argue that no, it must be that you took out the Meiser Sheni money and you put in new money. So that's where we left off yesterday. And now the Gemara is going to say, "V'lama li l'shnuye Allah." Why do we have to give this answer of maybe it's birds? The difference between birds and money is that birds hop around and money doesn't move. Let's see, it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. It's 9 lines up from the bottom, you know, the base. Lama li l'shnuye Allah, shani gozlos, ho'ul vasuyin l'dadus. Why do we have to give this answer that the Chachamim, right, that say that maybe the Mishnah is like the Chachamim, because the Chachamim hold differently, and there's a difference between birds and money. Because Hayat Mar Allah, right, it was said about this case of the Meiser Sheni money that we quoted yesterday at the end, right, the Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar, there's a Machlokas, Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar. One of their opinions is going to line up and going to make sense why you need to differentiate between birds and money, but the other one is going to seemingly parallel, right, both cases, and therefore you don't even need to come onto this answer and say that the Mishnah could be like the Chachamim. So let's just see exactly what it says. Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar, Chad Amar, one of them says, Bishnei Kisim Machlokas, that the Machlokas is when you have two wallets with $100 in the jar itself, i.e. paralleling, right, the multiple birds. But if there's only one wallet in there, and you open the wallet and you found $200 instead of $100, that's different. I call chulin. Then even Rebbe agrees that that's different money. Right? One of them says, meaning one of Rebbe Yochanan and Rebbe Elazar, says, no, b'kis echad machlokes, that there's machlokes if you find one wallet with an extra $100 in it. Avo b'shnei kisim, but if you open the jar and all of a sudden there are two wallets, so then divrei kol manamunach u'manamutal, then everybody agrees that there's original, meaning that there is $100 of Meiser Sheni is still originally there, and you just put down, right, you dropped in another wallet with another $100. So the Gemara explains, bishlam alam adam r'shnei kisim machlokes, according to the one who says it's a machlokes, but when you have two wallets in this jar with $100 each, and that's the Machlokas Rebbe and the Chachamim, so Hayna Ditzrik L'Shnuye Hacha Shani Gozlos Ho'ul Basun L'Dados. That's why you need to tell me that there's a difference between birds and money, because you know birds, right? The two birds in our cases, right? Since they're not the same item, right? They're two birds are like two wallets, right? And so when the Mishnah says that we assumed that the original birds are there, does not make sense. So and the Chachamim would hold by the money that says that the two wallets are assumed to be new, right? So what's the difference between birds and money? That both wallets are assuming to be new. Why would we say that both wallets are new? So that's what we had to explain, that birds kind of hop around, but money doesn't. And if the money is different, if there's a different amount in there, it must be, right, that someone would have taken out the original Meiser Sheni and put in Chulin. But according to the one who says that if there's one wallet and now there's just $200 in the wallet instead of $100. That's machokas Rebbe and Chachamim. I'm like b'shnei kisin. But if there's two wallets, they're called munach mana umuta, mana munach umana muta. But if you have two wallets, i.e., just like in our case, when you have two birds left, right? Everybody agrees. Rebbe, the Chachamim agree to Rebbe that the original miser sheni is still there. Money is still there, and it's just that you added it. There's somebody else dropped a wallet in there with $100. So hashtalam lishnei Allah ha'amar te b'shnei kisin lo pligi. Why do you need to tell me? Why do you have to give me this difference between money and birds? But according to this understanding, the Chachamim would agree that if you find a situation where you have two wallets or you have two birds there, we assume that the original money is still in the jar and someone added. So do over here. We assume that the original birds, right, are still in the duff coat. So Rav Ashi says that hacha begozlos mikusharim the kisim mikusharim askinan. The case is why you would need to differentiate between birds and wallet. According to that understanding that we just quoted, right, is if the birds and the wallets are tied together, right? Because gozlos, because then you need to differentiate between birds and money. Gozlos minatche adadi, right? There, birds move, right? And they will kind of try and untie themselves, and then theoretically, right, there will be different. Different. What's it called? It's different. It could be different birds, right? But keys and loan menatchia. Obviously, wallets don't try and loose themselves. So therefore, the Chachamim will assume, right, if it's tied together, that it's different money. But that's what you have to say. The difference is between birds and money. For Rebbe Amalecha, Rebbe would just say, meaning, why would you tell me that? You know, Rebbe holds in this case that the two wallets, one is old and one is new. Right. So why in the world would you tell me? Right, that how does that work out? Right, Pasha says wallets don't separate themselves. So why don't we assume that you took out the old wallet and put in two new ones that were tied together? So Rebbe Amalecha Kisin Nami Zimin. And sometimes Kisin Nami Zimin Dim Sakal Ketrayu. Right, sometimes the knot is untied. So it could very well possibly be that that the one wallet is still left there with miser sheni. Okay, fine. Mishnah had said, "V'sochakan u'matzah lefnei akan asurim." Right, if you designated doves that were inside the dove coat and then you found them outside of the dove coat, right on the ledge outside, so that is those are not the same birds. We assume they are different. And they are also muktzah. Lema misei le Rabbi Chanina. Apparently, this is a shita that this mishnah supports the shita of Rabbi Chanina. Because we said, right, if we quoted a couple days ago, or yesterday actually, I think, that if you have two possibilities, if you have a rove, a majority, let's say the majority of birds all over the world, and karov, or birds that are close, right, halakha karov, we go based on the majority. And you know, we assume that the birds outside the dovecot, right, are birds from all over the place. Right, and outside the dovecot, i.e., not the birds that you designated, even though theoretically they're karov, they're close to the place where you designated the birds, so you're faced with a rove, a majority of birds from all over the world, which would indicate that they're not our birds. And you're also, and at the same time, you have a karov where something is close, and we can assume that something is close. When you have those two conflicting concepts and theories, so we go based on the majority, and therefore we assume that these are not your birds. What's it called? Agav, just the concept of rove. This concept of rove comes from Achori Rabbi Mahatos, right? The pasuk says straight up, how do you judge a court case? That would go based on the majority. The concept of karov, if I'm not mistaken, comes from the concept of egla arufa, that we say that if you have a suffix, right, where you find a dead body in between two cities, you don't know what happened to him, so you do an egla arufa, and you take the elders of the city that's closest to the dead body, right, and they do the egla arufa. Procedures. That's how you see that karov sometimes can determine a suffix and help us. So when you're faced with a stira between rov and karov, Rabbi Chanina says, we go based on rov. That seems to be our shita. So Rabbi says, no. The case is badaf. No, as we said yesterday, right, the case is where the dove coat has a board outside of it where you always have other birds coming and hanging out. So you can't even assume that even karov is going to be muktzah. I mean, it's not even shaykh to say rov versus karov. Even if you tell me, right, even the birds are close, right, the majority of close birds are also not the birds that you designated because you have a lot of birds coming from the outside to hang out. Rava, my Rava says, no, b'shnin kanim zulam ala mizuas kina. No, the Rava says, no, the case is we have two, dovecotes, right, one on top of the other. Right, on Yontif, right, again, obviously you chose birds in one of the dovecotes, And then the Pashas is, right, the birds are, we're nervous that the birds are coming from the other dovecote. And if you look at, as the Gemara says, v'lomi baya, zimim tachtona v'lozim b'anyona. You don't even need to tell me that if you designated birds in the bottom dovecote, and you didn't designate birds in the top dovecote, umatzabach datona, and you found the birds outside the bottom dovecote, v'lomatzaliona, and you didn't find any birds in the top one, to asrin. You don't even need to tell me that, that if you designated the bottom, and you found them outside the bottom one, right, that they're aser, because Damrinan Hanach Azlul Alma Vhanach Ishtarububay Ishtarbub Vinachos. Because we assume the ones that were inside the dovecote, the lower dovecote, were left, and the ones that were on top were kind of like waddled down or kind of fluttered down and are hanging out outside this dovecote. Allah filuz ma belyona zimin belyona vol zimin betachtona. But even if you designated the birds from the top dovecote and not the bottom, Uba Matza Belyona Volo Matza Batachtona, and you found the birds on the top ledge of the what's it called? On the top of the what, even inside even the dovecote, even and you didn't find in the bottom, right? Not necessarily ledge, right? That was Avaya's answer. But even if you find the birds in the top dovecote and not the bottom, hanach nami asiri, they're also aser. Tarminan hanach azlul alma v'hanach sruche sorich uslikum. That even if you find the birds in the top dovecote, we assume that right, meaning and that they're also aser. Oh no, we are talking about a ledge. I apologize. Meaning, there's also a ledge in Rova's case, because obviously, because if he doesn't need birds in a dovecote and you find them in a dovecote, so then those are gonna, we're going to assume those are your birds, right? They has to be, they have to have moved, right, for us to assume that they're not your birds, right? So okay, so they must be on the ledge on the kind of the piece of wood outside of the dovecote, and even if you designated the ones on top and found them on the outside of the top dovecote, we're still going to say that they're usher, because we're going to say that the ones that were inside left. Right, and these, right, kind of like jumped up, right, and kind of fluttered up onto the dovecote as well, onto the ledge of the dovecote as well. Okay, weiter. Vim insham ela hein hare elu mutar. And obviously, right, if you there were no birds there, and these are the ones that you find, right, obviously then they are mutar. So Gemara says, well, heiridami. Well, yeah, you would imagine, right? What's the whole point of designating birds, right? If you tell me that you can never use these birds, if maybe they flew away and other ones are here, like, well, Mishnah tells me if there's those are the only birds left, or those are yours. Well, yeah, obviously. So Gemara says, heiridami, what's the case? Ilim b'mufurachim, if you tell me that these birds are flying. So, well, then you can always assume that you know that your original birds left, and these are other ones. So it can't be that the birds can fly, right? We're not designating, I don't know, storks or you know ravens or whatever. It must be Alabama Dudden, right? We're obviously storks are trafe, but whatever. Anyway, so are ravens. But either way, it must be that the birds cannot fly. Meaning they're Madudden, they're gonna hop. And they kind of like, you know, flutter around. Right? Pigeons, right? Like Pasha says, not even the amount of flying that pigeons do, right? Even less than that. So the problem with that is that if you tell me that there's another dove coat within 50 amos, so ad-du, then we can assume, right, that they would leave, right, that they can go from one to the next, and maybe these are not the right birds. But if you don't have another pigeon dove coat within 50 amos, so pshita, it's obvious, right? The mutarin, right? It's obviously it's going to be mutar, right? These are your birds, right? Where else are these birds coming from, right? Damar Marukva Baruchama, as Marukva said, right? Kol hamedada ein medal yosim mechamish amah, right? They only can go 50 amos if they can only kind of hop around. So the Olam Zegamar says, really the case is diget kam baso chamish amah. Really, there is a kan, there is another dove coat within 50 amos, but it could go in the kaimah bekerem zavis. But the dove coat is around the corner. Right. So Yumad the Tema, you might have thought, that the pigeons, right, will swap, they'll hop between both of them. It's Kamash Malan. So therefore, what is the Mishnah telling us? They call Hecha the Medada v'Chazir v'Chazir l'Kniye Medada. That pigeons will only hop from one dovecote to the next if they can still see their original where the place they left, right? Their original dovecote. But if they can't see where they're going, so low medada, then they're not going to go from one to the next. So therefore, they're not going to be able to see, right? They're not going to switch if the dovecotes are around the corner, because then they'll have lost, I guess, the original place they left. And Pasha says, these are still your birds. Okay. New Mishnah now, again, what we quoted yesterday, we quoted basically all these Mishnahs, right? And our back and forth between with Rabbi Yochanan trying to figure out Beishami Basila. Right? So the Mishnah says, Beishami Omer Me'in Notlan Esa Eli Leketzav Alav Basar. Right? You're not allowed to take this Eli, this kind of this big wooden block where they used to crush grain on to chop meat. You're not allowed to take that to chop meat. Basil Matirim, Basil says, that it's mutter. Again, Rashi explains here that this eli is klishal malachta le'iser, right? It's not it's mukta, right? It's a kli that is used for usher things, grinding, obviously usher. So beisal matirim, beisal says that it is mutter. Beisham echanami grinding is just if it occurs to you, grinding is ochon nefesh, but certain types of grinding would be usher, and this type of grinding with grains would be usher. Beisham omer beisham says in nosin nisaor lefnei adorsan v'loya bianu. You're not allowed to take skin. Animal skins, right, on the floor. You're not allowed to put it on the floor, so people will step on it. Right? It's a type of tanning, right, to kind of preserve the skins. You're not allowed to pick it up unless it has a kazayis of meat on it, because then otherwise it's mukta. But bezil matir and bezil, once again, say that it's mukta. Tana within the braisa, v'shav and shim katzav alav basar. If you did take this eli and chopped this kli and chopped meat on it, shasur l'taltalo, then afterwards, for sure, it's asur to what's it called to take it. Again, klisho, you know, klisho malach to the iser, right? You're not, you're not allowed to move that after the fact, after you're done. Even though in Echanami, that sometimes klisho malach to the iser, you're allowed to use it for tzarach gufo or tzarach makomo, right? So, all right, either way. But that's right after you're done with it. Obviously, you're not allowed to move it. Amar Abaye Abaye says machlokas be'eli. It is machlokas by this eli, by this thing you used for grinding. But aval b'tavad degarmi, by a board that a butcher would use. Right, that's tavad degarmi would chop. Literally means I think chop bones, but a butcher's board. As Rashi says, miyuchadet the katzav alav basar, right? Something that meat would normally be chopped on. Divrei kol mutar. Everybody agrees. Right, that's mutter. So the Gemara says, well, yeah, pshita, obviously. Right, you got to chop meat on something. Right, you have melachas ochel nefesh. You're allowed to prepare meat or prepare meal on yontif. Right, so what are you chopping on? So a board that you usually chop meat on, that's going to be mutter. So also eli tanan. It says, fairs. The Mishnah says that with the discussion, the machlokas is by an eli, but not by a regular taver de garmi. So ma'u de tema. Well, no. So it says the Gemara. You might have thought. Who I didn't feel taver de garmi nami. You might have thought that a butcher's board is also aser. Right? If I had the katani eli, the only reason the Mishnah said an eli, right, something they used to crush grains, laducha kochem beisila, to teach you how far beisila's heter goes. That feel taver shemalach tali iser nami sharo. Even something that's klishem achta li iser, right, is mutter. Right, kamash malan. Therefore, it comes to teach us, right, that no, actually, it's taver de garmi is mutter and not actually mutter according to everybody. Right, even beishami. Ikedam. Right, some people say I'm rabbi. Lo nitzchay el afil taver de garmi. Sorry, taver de garmi chadati. Right, the only reason they need to tell me that a taver garmi is mutter is if we're talking about a new one. Because malatima, you might have thought mimlach lo taver love, that you might take this new, you know, chopping board and say, oh, well, you know, the first time you use a chopping board, right, it's going to make a couple of marks. Maybe you're going to decide not to use it today, right, and I guess break it in at another time. So this is a kamash malan, therefore it has to teach us that Beis Shammai is not concerned that you may change your mind. The Gemara says, really? Beis Shammai luchai shelam luchai? Beis Shammai is not concerned that you may change your mind. Beis Shammai omrim, in molichin tevach v'sakin etzel behema, v'lo behema etzel tevach v'sakin. You're not allowed to move, you're not allowed to take a knife to an animal, or an animal to a knife, to shecht. Beisil says, "Malom v'lichan zeitzel ze." Right, you're allowed to move one to the other. And similarly, Beishamay omrim ein molichan tavlin madocha etzel madocha. You're not allowed to bring spices to I think it's a pestle or whatever you call it, a mortar and a pestle maybe. Right, that's something that you use to grind spices. V'lo madocha etzel tavlin madocha. Not the other way around. You're right. You can't take the kli to the spices either. Beisil omrim molichan zeitzel ze. And Beisil says you are allowed to move one to the next. Again, from over there, Beishamay is simply concerned that you may decide not to either shecht or grind the spices. So what's going on over here? What are you telling me? The Beis Shammai is not concerned that you may change your mind with a new Tavra Garmi. But Beis Ol is the one who's concerned for changing your mind, and that's why he doesn't allow you to take the knife or whatever to move the knife or move the animal or move the spices, etc. Right? Because you may change your mind and not do it. So Gemara says, no, Hachi Hashta. Well, those cases are not comparable. Right? I mean, no. An animal is, there's a chance you will change your mind by an animal because it could be that you'll see that the animal is thin or lean and you'll say, you know, let me go get a fatter animal. Kedera nami, so to buy a dish. Asilam luche, damar nishma ka kedera, de bay tavlin, maisina achrina, de lo bay tavlin. Also, by a dish, by where you're grinding spices to put in a dish, so it could be that you just decide to forget the spices. Right? I'll just bring a different dish that doesn't need spices. It's seasoned already or seasoned better or whatever, doesn't need the spices, and I just won't grind it. And I'll just bring a different food. But over here, by the case of the meat, right, you got some meat, you're going to bring the chopping board. What are you going to say? Mimlach v'lutavar, well, you're not going to chop the meat. Right? Came to the shechta, the latfira kaima. Once you, the animal is shechted already. The meat is sitting there on the counter. You're not going to chop the meat. You're just going to leave it there? No one's going to change their mind about that. So there, Beis Shammai is not concerned. Okay. Beis Shammai omrim ein nosin in this or, right? Beis Shammai says you can't throw the skins in front of people to go kind of to step on them as part of the tanning process. Tana we learned that right seven shavin shemolichun alav basar litzli. But they agree right, that you can what's it called? That you can salt meat to roast. Now there are different levels of salting. Back then we are very spoiled, Baruch Hashem. We have refrigeration. In the last 100 years, I've never had to haven't really had to worry about this. But back in the day, right, for thousands of years, right, if you shucked an animal, the meat would not last unless you salted it. So first of all, salting was also used for tanning as well, to tan a hide, to tan a skins. So basically, it used to use a massive amount of salt, both to preserve meat and to preserve hides and to kosher meat. For use, right? There's a step in the koshering process. Growing up, I always just assumed, you know, you shuck the cow and then everything's good to go. No, there's a bunch of steps in that process. And one of them is salting. You have to get out the blood. Now, the level of salting that you have to do is different depending on how you're cooking it. If you're cooking the animal, then you really need to salt it heavy. If you're roasting the animal, so then you do not need to salt a lot. Really, he barely needs the salt at all. If you look at Tosos over here, v'shavin shemolichin alav basar litzli, right? Last Tosos, lav mishum tzarech melichin litzli. It's not because you need to salt it for roasting, because the Gemara says in the Chulin, which Tosos doesn't quote, that the roasting will take care of the salting. And salting is to get the blood out of the animal, and the roasting accomplishes that as well. So you don't actually really need pashtas to salt to get the blood out when you're going to roast the meat. So Ellis says, Tosos, rather, shenagu limloch, lamalcho kedeli tintam. No, here you're salting for flavor. So both Beis, that's what we're talking about over here. The both Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel agree that you're allowed to salt the meat, right, for flavor for roasting. That's a small amount of salting. Amar Abayi says lo shonu el litzli, and this is what Abayi says. Right, that's only if you're going to roast it. Avol kedera lo, but for if you're going to cook it, right, which is a lot more salt, so then that's not mutter. So the Gemara says, well, yeah, pshita litzli, right, that was pretty straight up, right? Said very clearly, right, in the Braisa for roasting. So it's like Kamash Malan, so what are we teaching us? To feel litzli kein kedera aser. No, so we're teaching me that even if you're going to roast it, meaning if you salt it. Meaning you're not allowed to salt it as much as you would salt for cooking, even if you're going to roast it. Meaning let's say you like really, really salted meat, so that's going to be usher. Meaning he was just talking about when we said that it's usher to salt, right? It's the level, it's the amount of salting that we're talking about. That's a tirchei yisera. It's an extra. It's unnecessary effort, right? And also it could be maybe a xera. I'm not sure. Again, maybe a xera for because it looks like tanning. Okay. Either way, I'm just see if I can look at Rashi what the reason is very quickly. The imaluchan also yafa. Okay, right. Afal pisha melech mol la'abid, right? Because again, it's probably the rabbanon of tanning. Right? We don't want people to think that that's mutter. Okay, fine. So Pasha says you can't salt it so much. Tan rabbanon v'lo d'rabbaisa. Ein maluchin esach alav in v'lo ein mahafkin bahen. You can't take these chilev or fats of the animal that is usher for a behema. It's usher to eat for a chay. It's mutter, but for a behema, let's say a cow's chilev, certain fats are usher, but it's not usher b'hanah, so you can't use them. Right? It is mutter to sell and etc. So you're not allowed to salt them to preserve them, and you're also not allowed to mahafkin. You're not allowed to turn them over apparently that was some way, you know, literally flip them over, I guess, man, like a pancake. I don't know. I guess there's some sort of process to make sure they didn't spoil. Rabbi Shua said there is a way to do it. There's a way to save it, is that you can spread it out right on top of pegs to make sure, right, I guess it needed to get some air to air it out or whatever, and that would make sure it wouldn't spoil. Amar Rav Masna, Alach Rabbi Yeshua. And Rav Masna says, Alach is like Rabbi Yeshua. Some people say, though, Amar Rav Masna ain't Alach Rabbi Yeshua. Some people say that Rav Masna, Dafka, taught us that the Alach is not like Rabbi Yeshua. So Gemara says, one second. Bishlam Alamanda, Amar Alach Rabbi Yeshua. According to the opinion that says Rav Masna was telling us that the Alach is like Rabbi Yeshua, okay, so it's Rikhsakudaitakamina, Yachib Rabim Allah Karabim. I understand why he needs to tell me that, because when you have machlokas between one Rav and a bunch, right, the Rabbanan, Allah Karabim, the Allah is like the majority. So therefore, Kamash Malan, Allah Kayachid, therefore over here he had to tell me that the Allah is in fact like Rabbi Yeshua. Elamad Amr ain't Allah, but according, if you tell me the Allah is not like Rabbi Yeshua, well, yeah, Pshita, obviously, Yachib Rabim Allah Karabim. Whenever you have machlokas between many Rabbanim and one, the Allah is like the many. The lach is like the majority. So my tema, the Gemara says, no, you might have thought, Mistabra Taimi Rabbi Yeshua, you might have thought that Rabbi Yeshua's logic makes a lot of sense. Right? Because if we don't allow you to spread out the chaylev, you're going to lose the chaylev, right? Like we said by the skins. If by Basil's sheet of the skins, if you're going to not allow this guy to spread out the chaylev and he's going to lose it, maybe he won't end up shechting and then he'll refrain from enjoying Simchas Yontif. Sever Kamash Malan, that is against the halacha, is not like Rabbi Yeshua, and it's actually usher to spread out the fats. Well, if that's true, so Maishanam or Lefnei Adarsan. Well, didn't we learn, like I mentioned a second ago, that you are allowed, according to Beis Hillel, to spread out the skins, right, the hide of the animal, right, so people can trample on it. What's the difference between skins and fats? So the Gemara says, Hasam lo mucha milsa. So there, right, again, if you throw out the skins, on the floor, and people step on it, and therefore that's part of the, you know, process, and it preserves it. It doesn't look like you're tanning. It doesn't look like you're preserving the skins necessarily. Because people theoretically could sit on the skins, right? Again, remember, they used to have dirt floors. So people might think, oh, great, he threw out that rug for us all to sit and not get our clothes dirty. But if you have by the fats, so you spread out the fats, people might think, right, my time is sharuli rabbanon, why did the chazal allow you to spread out the fats? Right, so the fats, the chaylev won't go bad. So ma'ali the mishtachinu, ma'ali the mimlachinu. So what's the difference between spreading it out and salting it? So therefore, because we're concerned that people may end up salting the fats, and that's talking about, you know, getting close to an isudar isa, right, of tanning. Right, so that's already of ibud, right, ma'abid. So that already is a problem. So that we did not allow you to spread out the chaylev. I'm Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Rabbi Yehuda says the name of Shmuel. Molech adam kama chatichos baser bevas achas aval vishe enot zarei chalecha chaticha achas. A person is allowed to salt many different pieces of meat, if he only needs one piece. Ravada bar Ava would marim. He'd make a little game, like a little scam. Umalach garma garma. He would salt one piece by the next piece, as Rashi explains, right, that he would decide, right, I want this meat. I want the next meat. Oh, you know what, I'll take that piece. Meaning in that way, he would salt all of his meat, right, and make sure that it would stay. Right, he would kind of like decide to use a different piece. Again, this is an issue, right? The question, the Rishonim debate whether these two things are machlokas, but just to clarify, why is this mutter? Right, we're going to play around with the halacha, right? If you're not allowed to salt, you're not allowed to salt. Right, what's the deal? So it could be, very well be, that's Rashi says. Where is it? It is. Is it Rashi? Is it a Tosos? Well, we're faced with I don't remember, but okay, I don't see it here. Either way, Pasha says that since we're faced with two conflicting concerns here, we're concerned, as we've mentioned several times, that we're concerned that if these things weren't mutter, people wouldn't shecht on Yontif, and then they're refraining from Simchas Yontif. So since, we're talking about the Rabbanans anyway, right, and you have a competing factor that if these things are not mutter, these kind of like little games were not employed, and people might refrain from Simchas Yontif, right, so they wouldn't do it. So they allowed, you know, Chacham to kind of do it in this type of way to show that they realize that there are these issues in halacha that you might think that other things are mutter, but once you play the little game, kind of like you do it in this manner, so then you're keeping the halachas d'araisa in mind, right, and we're making sure that people have enough meat for Yontif and they don't violate these issues. Okay. New Mishnah. Beshame Omrim im Misakin is a treason beyond the Vihil Matir Nafilachzir. Right, again, we mentioned this yesterday that Machlokas, whether you're allowed to take out these shutters that they used to have by the merchants used to have, like these portable kind of not storefronts, but I guess, but anyway, these portable storefronts. And the question, they would take out the window and they'd put their stuff on it, like little tchotchkes on it or whatever they were selling for people to see. So the question is, if you're allowed to take those out on Yontif, and Beisola says it's mutter to take, not only is it mutter to take it out, but it's mutter to take it to put it back. As we'll see in a second, we'll talk about allowing something at the end of an action because of the beginning. All right, obviously, we wanted, Rashi says over here that we want people to be able to buy the produce on Yontif. Obviously, they're not paying for money. But what's it called? Is that Rashi over here? Come on, is that Rashi yesterday? I don't remember. Let's see here. Chani is going to tevo umdos bashuk. You know, mechubaros the karka. Right, they're not connected to the ground. Right, they're movable. Pasha says that people are taking this stuff like they're selling or they're putting out food or whatever they people need on Yontif, and as long as obviously they won't give money that's already they're paying afterwards. Either way, so you're allowed to take down these shutters on Yontif, and Beis Hillel says, and Beis Shammai says that you are not. So the Gemara says, "My treason, what are these shutters?" So as we explained already, Amar Ula, treisei chanuyas, we're talking about the shutters for stores. Amar Ula, shlosh dvarim etiru sofa mishum tchilasim. And Ula says the three things Chazal allowed the end, right, the end maisa, because of the beginning. Meaning we're going to allow, for example, we're going to allow in our case, right, we're allowed to put the windows back, right, to close up the store, as it were. Right, in order so that we want you to open up the store. Right? I mean, that we obviously the closing of the store is not really the tzarach yontif. Right, the opening of the store is the tzarach yontif. So people come, take their wine, take whatever they need. Right, obviously, and settle up afterwards. But people have to take produce and wares and stuff like that. Closing of the store. Right, what heter is that? So this is the halacha is that we're allowing the end. Right, because of the beginning. Right? Just parenthetically, before we get to these examples, right, Rav Moshe Feinstein is well known for using this concept to matir hatzala drivers, right, to drive back after taking someone to the hospital. Right, he tears so far mishunt chilasim. Obviously, on the way to the hospital, everything is mutter. Right? If you have a pikuach nefesh situation, what about driving back? So Rav Moshe has a famous tshuva that he allows hatzala people to drive back because if they weren't able to drive back, and every time it takes somebody to the hospital on Shabbos Yontif, so they leave their family the whole time, they can't get back, etc. Sometimes the hospital is far away, so people wouldn't necessarily run out and they would convince themselves that, no, maybe it's not Pikuach Nefesh, etc. So, they would Hatzalah would not function the same exact way at all. So Rav Moshe allowed, based on this concept, okay, right, there's a discussion, if I'm not mistaken, in Eretz Yisrael, I think Rav Eliashiv was not so happy with it, or maybe in certain situations, I don't remember exactly, but for sure Rav Moshe uses this concept so from Mishun Tchilasan to Matir driving back on Shabbos. Okay. Either way, so Amar Ula Shloshet Dvarim Hitu, so from Mishun Tchilasan, by three things. We allowed an action after something was done because we want to make sure the action at the beginning gets done, right, and people won't refrain from doing the first action. Ve'iluhin, and these are them. Orlev Ne'adarsan, right, throwing out the skins, right, in front of people to step on, right, because we want to make sure that people shecht the animal to enjoy Yontif. Utrisi Chanuyos, our Mishnah, but we want to make sure that people open up their shops for people to take the stuff on Yontif, and then so we allow them to close up shop. V'chazeres Ritiyah B'Mikdash, and closing up a wound in the Beis HaMikdash, that basically is that if a Kohen has a wound, has some sort of injury, so he's not allowed to do the avoda. The avoda requires no chatzitzas. You can't have, let's say, some sort of bandage on the skin. So let's say we allow. So in general, putting a wound, putting a dressing back on a wound, putting a bandage, whatever it is, back on a wound, might be asur midirabanan because of refuah. Right? We don't allow refuah because that could lead to tochein. Okay, that's right. We talked about it in Masechta Shabbos. But here in this case, we're going to allow the Kohen to put the dressing and the bandage, etc., back on the wound after he's done with the avoda, because we want to make sure that he does the avoda, and therefore we'll say, no, you can take off your bandages, but we're going to allow you to put them back on afterwards, and because otherwise he might not do it b'chol. Rav Rachva Amar Rabbi Yehuda adds a fourth one, afa posech chaviso umatchil bi'isoso al gav haregel. that even someone who literally means he opens his barrel and starts his dough by the regel. Now, what's going on over here? So basically, the din is that in general, an ama aretz is conveys tuma. Misafek, right? Amaratzim are not necessarily careful about tuma. Chazal or gozer, Chazal said that on the regel, on the holidays, we assume everybody was metaher themselves before the regel, right? And we say that an ama aretz is his tahor on a regel. Now, this guy is going to open up his barrel, right? On what's called on to sell, let's say to sell his wine, for example, or to sell his dough. But let's take the wine for example. So he's going to open up his barrel. He's going to sell it all through the regel. We're going to assume everything is tahor. But what's the deal afterwards? After the regel, now you have half a barrel left of wine, and all the people have been coming and taking the wine and touching the wine, etc. Do we assume that the wine is mutter? Or is it tame? Is it tahor? Right? No, we assume. So this is what we're saying, that as we'll see in a second. We just finished the Gemara. Well, we'll see in a second that if Alibud Rabbi Yehuda Damar Yikmor, right, we're going to assume it's Machokas Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. But according to Rabbi Yehuda Shita, who says he's allowed to finish selling the barrel of wine, even to Chaverim, even to Talmid Chachamim, even to people who are careful about Tumah, we're going to assume that the rest of the barrel, even though it's been touched by all these Amaratim on the Yontif, we assume that after the Yontif, the last half of the barrel, he can still sell to people who are careful about Tumah and Tahara, because we assume that it's Tahar. So we hetiru sol from Mishun Chilasa, right? We're going to allow you to sell the rest of the barrel of wine, even though it's come in contact with the Amaratzim, because we want to make sure that you're selling, you open the barrel on Yontif, or on Chol HaMoed, or whatever. We want to make sure that you're opening the barrel to sell to everybody, and that's Rabbi Yehuda's Shita. Okay, fine. Now, or the Fnei Adar San, right, Vayter in the Gemara now. Now, the Gemara is now going to ask that you don't need to teach me, right? Ula listed these three cases, Rachva had another case. Ula seems to be teaching us a Chiddush. Right? The problem is, all of these cases are found in Mishnayos. Right? We just talked about most, a couple of them. Right? Or the Fnei Adar San Tanina, we just learned that in the Mishnah. So the Gemara says, Ma'ad Tema, you might have thought that Tamayu de Beisilal, the reason Beisilal allows you to dry out the skins, right, for people to trample on them, right? Really, because it's mutter for you to sit on them. And even if you shechted the animal on Erev Yontif, you can also throw out the skins to be tanned, quote unquote, to be trampled on and preserved. Right, so therefore, Kamash Malan, it comes to teach me, no, the reason Beisilal allows you to do that is only Hitir Sofa Mishun Chilasa. That it's only because, right, we're going to allow you to do this only because we want to make sure that you do Shecht on Yontif. Right, Yontif in there, Yontif low. And it's only Mutter if you Shechted it on Yontif itself. And the only reason is not because they're inherently not Mukta, they are Mukta. But we're going to allow you to spread them out and you know, have them quote unquote tanned because we want to make sure that you will Shecht and not refrain from Shechting on Yontif. Gemara says, Trishi Chanuyos, not with Anina. Well, this case with the Trisim, that's our Mishnah, right? Bisil Matir, Mafla Hachzir, right? That case is also in our Mishnah. So why does Ula have to tell me that Hitir is so from Mishun Chilasan? So my tema, because you might have thought, Tamayo de Beisilel, Mishun de Ain Binyan Bekalim, Vain Stir Bekalim. That you might have thought that the reason Beisilel says you're allowed to put these window shutters back for the shops, for the movable shops, right? The Filu de Batim Nami, right? That the reason is that Ain Binyan Bekalim, Vain Stir Bekalim. That there's no Binyan, there's no halacha, there's no Isser of Binyan by Kalim, by Metaltalin. And therefore, Afilu Debatim Nami, even the shutters of the houses are also going to be mutter. What do you mean the shutters of the houses? The houses are not Kalim, so it must be that you're talking about a merchant. Different ways to understand this, what this means. But Pasha says that we're talking about a merchant that's set up in a house. That even if it's inside the house and you don't need to put the windows back. Right? Again, what are you putting the windows back for in a movable kind of vendor kind of station there? But it's only because you don't want people to take them. Well, if you have your movable vendor box in your house, right, so you don't need to put the window back, right? No one's taking your stuff, right? You just lock the door of the house. Right? So you might have thought that there's no binyan in Stira Bekalim, and therefore, even if you have your merchant thing in your house, so that would be mutter to put the window back. So therefore, Kamash Malan, therefore, is teaching me, no, it's not because in binyan in Stira Bekalim. That is true, Rabbi Yisrael does hold that, but that's not the reason here, because Yitir Sofa Mishun Chilasa. Right? The reason is, the only reason we're going to allow you to put the windows back is because we want to make sure you take down those windows on Yotav. The Chaniyos in the Batim Law, and only if you have a store outside in the marketplace and not if it's in your house. So Chazar is Rizia B'Mikdash Namitanina. And the third case is also a Mishnah. Mishnah by the end of Erevin, right? To put, Cohen can put back the bandage on his hands. It's also a Mishnah. Machzirin Rizia B'Mikdash Avalabha Medina, that he can do it in the Beis HaMikdash and not outside the Beis HaMikdash. So Matzah Gemara says again, Ma'od Tema, because you might have thought, why did Ula have to tell me that this is a case of Hitiru Sofa Mishun Tchilosan? Because Ma'od Tema, you might have thought, Time of my, what's the reason you're allowed to, a Kohen is allowed to put the bandages back on? Because there's no dinam derabanan in the Beis HaMikdash. There's a concept of ain shvus b'mikdash, that the dinam derabanan, the gzeres derabanan that Chazal set up, do not apply in the Beis HaMikdash. And therefore, you might have thought, afilu Kohen delav bar avodahi, and even a Kohen is not doing avodah, he's just chilling. It's his family's turn. He's in the Beis HaMikdash, but he didn't win any lottery to do any avodah, or he's just hanging out and doing, I don't know, doing a watch or something. And he doesn't, and he wants to replace his bandages. You might have thought that's mutter. So therefore, Kamash Malan, therefore, it comes to teach us that no, that this whole concept of Ein Shvus B'Mikdash depends. Right? It's not a blanket heter to do anything you want, any derabanans in the Beis HaMikdash. It's only Hitir Sofa Mishkut Kulasa, and it's only that the end was justified because of the beginning. Right? The baravoda in the la baravoda lo. And if someone is going to do avoda, yeah, okay, fine. So you can take off your bandages and then put them back on. But if you're just sitting around, so then you are not allowed to. And finally, the last case, Poseach is a Chaviso Nami, Tanina, that's also a Mishnah, right? At the end of Chagigo, we'll get to there in a couple of months. Right? Poseach is Chaviso, Umatchil bi Isaso, Agava Rego, right? That's what we quote, Machlokas we quoted before. If you start opening up your, either your dough or your barrel of wine on the regal. Again, we assume all the amaratzim are tahor. What happens after the regal, though, when you're left with half a dough or half a barrel of wine? Rabbi Yehuda Omer Yigmor. You can continue. You can finish selling it to the chavirim, and we assume it's all tahor. The chachamim omrim lo yigmor. The chachamim say, no, what do you mean? Amaratzim are only tahor on the regal, but not afterwards. So maybe we can assume that you can't just sell it to chavirim. To people who are careful about Tumah after the regal. So, why do you have to tell me that Rabbi Yehuda went hold that this is Yitiru Sofa Mishun Tchilasan, right? It's a Mishnah. So, it says again, you might have thought Tumah Ama Aretz Beregal Ketara Shavir Rabbana. You might have thought that the reason Rabbi Yehuda says it's Mutter is because when Chazal said Ama Aretz is Tohar on the holiday, that's a blanket Tara, that everybody is completely Tohar. There's not even a Chashash of Tumah. They're not even concerned at all for any Tumah. And even, therefore, even if you did not open up the barrel on Yom Tov or Chol HaMoed, so it would also be mutter for you to continue selling the rest of it. So therefore, Kamash Malan, Hitir Sofer, Mishkot Tchilosan. No, they allowed the end game because of the beginning. Hitchil in, lo hitchil lo, and it's only if you started on Yom Tov can you continue selling the rest of the barrel, but if you didn't start, so then you cannot. So Gemara says, okay, Tzvulu my time alo amar ha. So one second, Ula add right said there were three cases. Then Rachva said the name of Rabbi Yehuda that there's a fourth case. Right, again with Rabbi Yehuda Shita, right? So Rachva said there's a fourth case. So why didn't Ula list that case? So he said, but Plukta lo kamari, because Rabbi Ula didn't want to get involved in machlokasim. So that's a machlokas. Rabbi Yehuda chachamim. So he didn't want to list that one as one of the three cases. Gemara says one second, all the three cases he listed are machloksim, right? Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel, Hanach Nami Plukta Ninu, right? Beis Shammai, those are also machloksim. So when I answers, yeah, okay, this is a machlokas, and that's a machlokas. Right? Beis Shammai, Makal Beis Hillel, Eno Mishnah. That Beis Hillel, when you have a machlokas, Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel, right? Nowadays that we assume like Beis Hillel, that's not a machlokas. Right, that's not considered to be a machlokas. That's not a big deal. And therefore, Ula listed those three cases. Okay, Shkara Kodor Abosei, we'll stop here. We'll invite you on the end of the Shas tomorrow. Have a great day or night, depending on where you're listening to this.